would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher. I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
Welcome back to the Staller Podcast. This, the moon landing special.
Specials.
The last time we left us, they landed on the moon. Apparently.
Allegedly.
They somehow, miraculously landed on the moon. By vibes. They landed by vibes.
By vibes.
Apparently.
With 18 seconds left.
A few. Jesus.
But it all went wrong. Nearly did.
Very dramatic. Almost like a Hollywood movie.
Well, can I just say real quick that I watched, well, I started the Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it for like 45 minutes and turned it off.
It's a classic.
Just the monkey bit.
It's too long.
Just when you threw the oblong in the air, you're like, ugh.
I was like, what is happening here? That just monkeys at the start going mad at each other for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
And then it's just like space shit with like that fucking, I didn't even know that song was from it. You know that famous fucking, I didn't know that was from that. That was cool. I was like, no, no way. They use that for everything to put suspense to things.
Iconic.
Yeah.
But even that, I was saying outside, even them dressed up as monkeys, they looked amazing. And even that was state of the art for that time period. So when you look at it through the lens of the time period, it's shit. If you made that now, it's like, knock that off, it's crap.
I said it to you, I was like, I tried to look at it from the perspective of the moon landing happened a year after this and no one fucking seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
I was like, Star Wars is better. Interstellar's better. You know?
Well, it is better, yeah. Yeah. But you just have to see the perspective. You have to have the perspective that this was before we landed on the moon.
I was in the bed.
Before we seen that photograph of Earth.
I know.
Behind you.
I was just in the bed like that. When do they talk? Is this like, there's no talking in it? And then like, there's just the four sentences like on a ship and they're like, Commander.
Did you get to HAL? Did you get to HAL?
Yeah.
You got to HAL, okay.
Oh no, HAL is the...
The computer.
Yeah. The Alexa of the...
No, I didn't get to that.
And like they have video calls, and that was before video calls.
I've seen the video calls to his daughter.
Amazing.
Shy.
Amazing. Incredible. That's predicting the future.
They've got Just Eat.
Did they?
No, maybe not.
Oh man, no, it's brilliant. When you, I suppose it's not very entertaining. It is a bit boring. But if you're looking at it and just saying, this was so before its time.
I didn't look at it like that though. I tried to, I couldn't do it.
The sets, the size of the sets, the costumes, the lighting, even filming a monkey for like 2 minutes, not saying anything, would have been so, like Stanley Kubrick went out on a limb to make that. Like,
you really tailed off there with the impressiveness, the sets and the costume and the technology. And that, there's a monkey sat still for 2 minutes. How did he do it?
But it's a man in a costume.
it's a man in a costume.
And like you can see that eyes, it's just like human eyes that are just like looking around. They're like, get me out of this costume.
I'm roasting.
Right. So part three of our Moon Odyssey, the moonwalk, the homecoming, all that stuff.
The moonwalk?
The moonwalk. The original moonwalk.
Gonna get a chamona.
Why did he call it the moonwalk?
Because he walked on the moon. Oh.
No, like, I mean, Michael Jackson.
I don't know if he called it moonwalk. He just did it one time. It was just...
I don't think he originated it, though. Like, Madonna with the Vogue. That was around...
Did people just start calling it the moonwalk? I don't think he called it the moonwalk, did he?
No one done it before him. Like, he done it and everyone was like, what the fuck?
Ed has the phone out.
He done it on... I can't remember what show it was.
What have they done to the world?
The moonwalk or a backslide is a popping dance move in which the performer glides backwards, but their body actions suggest forward motion.
Yeah, we know what it is.
Talk about talking the joy out of it. It became popular around the world when Michael Jackson performed the move during the performance of Billie Jean at Motown 25, which is... History, here we go. Evidence of the moonwalk in a statement made by Arthur Marshall, an African-American composer of ragtime music. So yeah, it's been around for like the 30s.
But nothing got to do with the moon landing?
No.
Well then, let's leave it so.
Right. So today, the greatest, or biggest anyway, moment of TV history. Pretty big shift in the trajectory of the human species. A very murky web of conspiracy theories. Some very silly, some very entertaining, some will go a bit darker. And this is, I suppose, effectively like a part three of our 1960s American deep dive trilogy.
This is a crazy place.
Yeah, and so JFK got a good mention in earlier episodes. Someone else is going to get a brief mention in this one.
That we know?
Ah, another one of our... Charles Manson.
Charles Manson?
It's not. I found a link. I wedged it in there.
Jesus. I can't wait to hear this stretch.
Right. They land. 18 seconds. Crowd goes wild.
They do.
Everyone's chuffed.
The crowd?
The global crowd.
Who are watching?
Back here.
Listening, I mean.
Listening because they... Yeah. Listening because they cut the feed as they were landing. That now, why was. Did they do that?
That is not true. There never was a feed as they were landing. We covered this last time.
There was a feed.
So, not as they were landing. Just say, yeah, they're landing. And I went, yay.
They had a stream They had a live. They were doing a live stream. They had a stream to the command center.
Not video.
They did. But then they wouldn't. They wouldn't give it to the broadcasters.
No. They had the stream. The camera was on the leg of the Eagle, the lunar module.
Yes.
So that wasn't, but that wasn't broadcasting at the time of landing.
That was just for them to see.
They had cameras pointing out the windows, but that was film. They had to bring it back. Film or tapes or whatever they were doing.
Didn't have a capture card.
We were not live as they were going down. It was just radio as they were going down.
I thought, from my research, there was a feed, but it was only going to NASA, and NASA weren't...
Well, that's
decided
what
not to.
But we're getting into all them conspiracies now.
This is a conspiracy theory that NASA didn't let.
Ed, you're going to be working overtime on my fucking theories here.
That is a conspiracy theory that is, I believe, deliberately misconstrued by conspiracy theorists.
Huh.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
Huh.
I've heard this one before, that NASA wouldn't let people have. It was outrageously open. All the media coverage, there's just journalists everywhere. NASA didn't tell any of the astronauts what to say. They scripted nothing, including Armstrong's line.
That's one small step for man.
Yeah. We'll get there in a second. They land.
He well rehearsed that.
Well.
He was like, this is my moment.
Yeah. He was up all night thinking I've one chance. What will I say?
And I think he nearly fucked it up. There's like a big pause. Like, that's one small step for man.
He did fuck it up.
Did he fuck it up?
It wasn't what he was supposed to say.
It's like a football commentator commentating on like a Champions League final, and they have to like think on the spot what to say. Like, what the fuck, with like 5 seconds to say something there.
Yeah. Don't make it sound scripted.
Soldier.
Yeah. So they land, and there's a couple of minutes of the panic is still there. Can we stay? They're still worried about those moonquakes. Controllers of the different departments in Mission Control have to make their call. Are we okay to stay?
Okay to stay on the moon?
Or is something going to blow up or collapse? Okay. Because again,
how would anyone know?
Yeah.
It's okay if we stay here for a while.
The Eagle did almost blow up. There was a surge of heat or pressure in one of the fuel lines at the back. And in Mission Control, they got this and they thought, oh, that is about to explode. They didn't tell Armstrong and Aldrin. It resolved itself because the nitrogen cooled it down.
But that's
they thought it was going to blow up.
Cooled it down.
Why is that convenient?
Isn't it freezing up there?
Depends if it's day or night and what time of day or night.
There's no day or night in space.
Yes, there is.
How is there a day or night in space?
There's day and night in the moon.
No, there's not day or night in the moon.
How would there not be?
But the sun is always on the same side of the moon. So it's like always day. It is.
No, it's not.
Then what the fuck is the dark side of the moon?
It's dark side to us. Not dark side to the sun.
I'm getting confused. You're getting confused. There's no daytime. It's not daytime.
Don't be confused. Just treat it the same as Earth. There's day and there's night. The sun rises.
Can the dark side of the moon be anywhere, wherever the sun is?
The dark side of the moon, we always see the same side of the moon.
Okay.
So we always call that the dark side of the moon. But the sun does shine on the back of the moon.
We've never seen the dark side of the moon. The moon turns and is like constantly
moon like follows
facing
us
the
around,
earth
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it follows us around, yeah.
So we've never seen that side.
Not from Earth, no.
So the sun is always like on that side. No, so it's like
we
always
move around the sun, so the moon moves with us.
And there's no atmosphere on the moon, so it's like, it's just always nighttime. It's like, if you look at the sky, if you're standing on the moon and you look at the sky, it's like always dark.
I don't know how much time I have to spend on this. Will you please just tell him that there's day and night in the moon? Will you look something up there? There's day and night in the moon.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I find that very interesting.
I never thought of it.
A day and night in the moon.
Yeah. Jesus. You're going to get, if we're going to get into every detail like this.
Do you have a few fucking joints or something before you came in here?
Yeah.
You've come in swinging. Even before we started recording, you were shouting out about me about radiation belts.
Oh, well.
Roaring at me about the Van Allen radiation belts.
Dying to get into
it. Should we get into?
There's no dark side as such.
Oh.
Both the near and far sides of the moon experience equal amounts of sunlight over a lunar month.
Over a month?
So they have a daylight duration on the moon is 14 Earth days, and nighttime lasts about 14 Earth days.
Okay.
All right.
Daylight for 2 weeks.
Oh, you believe Ed?
I believe Google.
Their plan initially is to sleep. That's the plan. Land on the moon.
And have a nap?
Yeah.
On the moon?
Go there for 7 days.
Not even a nap. I think it's all sleep for 6 hours. And Armstrong and Aldrin ready back. Yeah, turns out we're too excited to sleep. Can we go for a walk?
Imagine all that time just to fucking have a sleep on. Like,
yeah.
That's mad.
Chill out. Like.
I know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
Jeez. That's like going to fucking Busch Gardens and not getting on any of the rides and just going to sleep.
Silly. Imagine explaining that one to the Russians. We got to the moon and then we just went to sleep.
You'd have to be a psychotic to sleep on the moon.
Yeah.
If you were just like, all right, see ya. You're like, what the fuck?
So everybody is expecting them to walk on the moon 6 hours later than they do. The BBC, for instance, were expecting to shut everything down and in the morning they'd broadcast the moonwalk. But for the first time ever, the BBC broadcast through the night.
For the first time ever?
The first time ever.
And last time?
You look like you want to challenge that as well.
No, I'm just curious what time it was on this side of the Earth when they landed. Like, would it have been about 4 o'clock in the morning or something?
No, it was about... They walked on the moon at 4 in the morning. So they landed probably just after midnight.
No wonder they wanted a nap.
Yeah.
Body clock all over the place.
I know, you'd be jet lagged.
I really want to walk on it, but I'm fucking wrecked.
ITV, they do the same, so we're going to go through the night. The singer Engelbert Humperdinck, who's involved in that.
What a name.
Production. He can't hack it. He collapses from exhaustion at 3 a.m. Armstrong, he was sitting in the lunar lander waiting to leave. That's when he decided what he'd say. He's like, it wasn't important until that point. I had other things to be worrying about.
So we just met her up there?
Yeah. I think his brother said later on he found notebooks of his where there was similar phrases. He'd been jotting stuff down. It wasn't completely off the top of the head, but he said that was the first time he fully decided what he'd say.
It's like a footballer's celebration. Like, they've thought about it.
Mm.
I think that's embarrassing.
It's like Cole Palmer doing the hands.
Yeah.
You had to think about that first, you know?
Yeah. I wonder what the other things on his notepad were. What would you say if he landed on the moon?
Just drawings on a little moon.
Little alien men.
Yeah. Based off previous space missions, Aldrin should technically have been the one to go first. Because he was designated to be the lunar lander pilot, but Armstrong had been picked as the one to go first. The reason given to him, to Aldrin, by NASA, Aldrin found this out, he's very upset, and NASA said,
I want to go first.
Pretty much. He said, this isn't fair. He went around asking the other astronauts to like have a word on his behalf. He was basically going around a lobbying campaign. People didn't like that. He was told, look, Neil's next to the door. It just makes sense for him to go first. Also, he's the commander of the mission. He has to go first. The reality is, and Aldrin believed that for a long time, decades. And then I think it was the 90s, one of the flight directors wrote a book where he said, yeah, basically a while beforehand, we decided Buzz Aldrin's too much of a prick to be the first man to go.
Oh my God.
Yep. Well, they didn't put it like that. But what they said was, whoever does it first will have a lifetime of the most unbelievable attention, fame, and Armstrong will handle that a lot better. Because Armstrong, being the very reserved, respectful type, they just thought he was a better representative of the United States, NASA, and planet Earth.
Well, they picked the right guy then.
Yeah, Michael Collins said he couldn't think of a better man than Neil Armstrong to be the first person to walk on the moon.
That's a nice thing for him to say, isn't it?
Yeah. Michael Collins is a nice guy.
Out of all of us, who would you say deserves to be the first one on the moon?
Ed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Ed's in the Luna
module. No, don't do that to me.
I weren't expecting that, were
you? As soon as you leave the room, they're going to turn on me now. It's like in school. Ed's essay was the best. Oh, no.
It's because I'm just going to nip out to the loo. So when they were like, yeah, no bother, Buzz, you're going for sure. Well,
my God.
He's a wanker, isn't he?
While they're waiting, space. What do you mean they don't get to go for it? Well, you're there now.
While they're waiting to get out and do their walk, Buzz has communion in the lunar module, takes out a chalice, takes out his communion wafers, pours the wine into the chalice. He says, in the 1/6 gravity of the moon, it curled around the lip. He said it was quite a spiritual moment. But he wasn't allowed to say his prayer out loud over the radio because they were still being sued over the prayer in Apollo 8. So that's like, Buzz, no God talk.
So no prayers in space.
No God talk, no prayers, nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nixon had wanted to put something about God on the plaque they left up there. And
they left the plaque up there?
It was on the leg up there.
Is it still there?
It is.
Let's go see it sometime.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Bezos will bring you.
Time comes to go and they can't open the door.
For fuck's sake.
The door was jammed. They couldn't lower the pressure. So Aldrin had to peel back a tiny bit of the tinfoil covering, basically, just to release the pressure. For a moment, they worried they'd made it all the way there and would be stuck inside. Pretty embarrassing.
That'd be scary.
I mean, anticlimax. That stage, they could still get away. Oh, they could still shoot back up to meet Michael Collins. But
imagine not being able to get out. Just
so
looking.
So Armstrong starts a very awkward climb out of Eagle. Basically kind of crawling backwards on his belly. At this point, 95% of households with a TV in America are watching. 600 million people watching live around the world, which was 1 in 5 people. I've tried to look this up. I don't know how many TVs existed back in 1969. So I'd say you're looking at a lot more than 1 in 5 TVs are tuned into this.
My man wasn't even born. What's you been?
So was you born in, this is 1969.
Well, I think my man was born in 73.
Well, then she wasn't born.
Huh? I was going to go home and ask her about it.
Easily the biggest collective moment in human history. There's nothing ever to this point that compares to this.
The Late Late Toy Show.
I don't think that had started then, had it? Or had it just started? Tomb
Raider. Everyone in the world was watching the Tomb Raider episode of the Late Late Toy Show.
Here she is now. Are we, Pat? No, about it.
So this is 69. So there's very reasonable to say there's people born in 1880 watching this. So they would have been 89 at that stage. Upper end of life expectancy or, you know.
1880.
1880. No running water, no electricity. Going around horse and car. And in their lifetime, they're watching someone walk on the moon.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Jesus, yeah.
Or most of Ireland at that time would have been in horse and carts.
I wonder if my granny watched it.
By candlelight.
Maybe like 1880s America.
Yeah.
1969 Ireland.
It's 4 in the morning. Would she be the type to stay up 4 in the morning for?
Ah, absolutely not. Well, I don't know then, like, what? She's 95 now, so.
She'd remember.
What age would she have been then?
20.
No.
Around 20. Is that bad maths? She's 95 now.
38.
20,
26. 39. I know if I was her, I'd be staying up. I'd be staying up.
Yeah.
What year was she born in? You don't know.
Don't know.
I wonder if there was like bets going on, like, will he do it? Will he make it? Will he die?
There was bets, though. Remember you were saying?
Yeah. There was a fella in 64 who went into William Hill and asked to put a bet on a person or...
She was 38.
Your nanny was 38.
Ed's over there doing maths.
Still old, that admit.
That took way too long.
Still old, that admit.
Is your nanny 95?
Yeah.
Fair play to her.
38, so she'd probably seen the end of World War II and everything.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so old, isn't it?
Yeah, nice one.
It's just an observation, it's not
that's
an
insult. So old. Real old.
It's amazing. But that's a very interesting fact about, like, there's people that existed before electricity that have seen astronauts, spacemen landing on the moon.
That would be a big jump.
It's mad.
This is like an evolutionary step. Humans leaving the planet. If there's ever any doubt that we're different to the other animals, this is it. Up there with the gods in this one moment. Armstrong gets down to the bottom step. Cleverly, he holds on and just checks. Can he get back up once he steps down?
Well, that would be
again. If he's stuck there, Buzz comes out. I don't know how they're not mobile in those suits.
I wouldn't trust Buzz. That's why I wouldn't want to go first.
You're looking up this. That was the Aldrin glaring down at you.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Slowly closing the module door.
Just taking his holy communion, looking at him.
Put it to his mouth.
Back up to Michael Collins. Where's Neil?
He's gone. Just me and you now, buddy.
Stop asking questions. Drive.
If you want to do the honours, on the bottom there of our little eagle toy.
Press this.
Neil Armstrong just getting out onto the porch now.
Step your water valve on, Mike.
Very fine. Boy, look at those pictures.
Wow. There he is putting his foot out. You can see him leaning on it.
There he is. There's a foot coming down the steps.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon. On this July 20th, 1969.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
I think that was Neil's quote. I didn't understand it. Oh, one small step for man, but I didn't get the second phrase.
What was your reaction?
I also thought it was tremendous. It's a great feeling to know that the United States at least got to the moon first.
I think somebody, a science fiction writer, summed it up when he said maybe it'll bring people back together. Yeah, maybe they can get rid of all the bad people and stick them up there.
The hesitation is what gets me. It's like, and one, fuck, what was it? The one small step for mankind.
Was that a surprise for us? I didn't even know that did that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that did it. No.
Can we do it one more time?
The hesitation.
I feel like,
it's like, and one.
All of these hours of recording, you are building it up to me pressing that button.
I had that thought only last night. I was like, he doesn't know there's a button down there.
Did you? You didn't
know? No.
Why is your reaction so fucking weak?
Because
that's amazing.
I'm not that impressed.
And that's why I let you do it, because I knew he wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Joe was just like, I don't give a fuck.
It's a fucking toy.
It's a fucking toy. Like,
just look, we landed on the moon. You think I'm going to be impressed by a toy that makes sounds?
It's just surprising.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I'm impressed by that, yeah.
He meant to say one small step for a man. Instead of one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Yeah. I think it still works.
I think it's better.
Better, yeah.
Man and mankind is the same thing.
Yeah. For years he claimed it. He had said it and it had been lost in the radio transmission. And eventually he admitted, like, yeah, I fucked it up. Sorry. I think.
You know, that is what
it's
it
fine.
Is.
Do you think Buzz knew it was just like,
he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll say this.
And then he says,
man. Man and mankind. And he's like, need you.
So he heads out 20 minutes later. Buzz follows him.
After 20 minutes?
20 minutes, yeah, man.
He's thinking about ejecting.
Just
he was thinking about leaving him there.
In case those giant ants show up.
Oh, man.
Get Neil first.
Fuck that.
Don't let them know there's two of us here.
Giant ants.
If you fall, shoot him out.
Giant ants, the fella from Israel, was writing to Michael Collins. As Aldrin is leaving, he has to be very careful not to let the door close behind him. Because they won't be able to open it again. God. The pressure inside again will build up and they won't be able to get back in.
So the latch.
He's very carefully easing it back. Buzz didn't get to walk on the moon first, but he took the first piss on the moon. Had a leak on the way down.
How? You can't take your dick out on the moon. Like, you can't.
No, in their suits.
Ah, eh.
Not in the suit. Like, there's a tube.
Oh.
Leading to a bag.
Oh.
Some kind of catheter.
A catheter?
Well, whatever it is.
Oh,
I don't know.
Buzz. Hold it in, like.
He was very proud of this.
Was he?
Yeah, he talked about it publicly. I think on chat shows and stuff we talk about. Yeah, I was the first man to have a leak on the moon.
He had to go one up, didn't he?
He did.
He wasn't the first one to step on it, so. Well, I'm the first one to piss on it.
Yeah, to get something.
That's.
He should have done loads of things to be the first person to do it on the moon. Like floss. An RKO.
Moonwalk.
Moonwalk.
When he got down, his first words were magnificent desolation.
Isn't that something? Magnificent
flight
out here. Magnificent desolation.
Nah, it's impressive.
No?
That doesn't really go.
Be more impressive if you don't have shy.
If you said, that's one small piss from man.
One giant dookie from man.
They brought a few things with them to the moon. They're allowed to bring personal things. Like NASA gave them like an allowance for personal things for friends, family, themselves, whatever it is they want to bring. And this is something I'm surprised doesn't get talked about more by the conspiracy theorists. Buzz Aldrin brought a Masonic flag because Buzz Aldrin is a Freemason.
What?
Hold on now.
shut the front door.
All the stuff you read about moon conspiracies, I'm really like, why did nobody mention this? Surely, surely they want to talk about this. But no.
I did not know that.
No, now you do.
Wow. That's crazy, no?
Mm.
Is that, so is there a Freemason flag on the moon?
No, we brought it back. This is stuff they'd bring and bring back with them.
Okay.
And this isn't hard to find. It's on his Wikipedia page.
Oh, that can be edited.
It can. It can. But it's, I'm saying it's not hard to find stumble across this information. Like, I didn't have to trawl the internet archives to find this. It was...
If I was them, I'd have done an ad. For what? For the moon. The moon fella.
It was all a big ad for NASA.
Yeah.
Big ad for America and capitalism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Political campaign.
Something that would become a bone of contention. Planting the flag. They had previously considered the UN flag. They had considered all the flags in the world in kind of a Christmas tree formation.
Jesus, that was...
Wow.
Like a metal Christmas tree contraption that would expand and on it would be all the flags of the world. Then NASA decided the American taxpayer paying for all this. Better do the all stars and stripes. They almost forgot to bring any kind of flag. The flag that went to the moon was bought in a local shop 3 weeks or so beforehand for about £5.
Well, that's what the price of flags would have been.
Someone was like, where's the flag? We're so busy with the rockets and worrying about the space hands.
Someone take a spin down to Deals there.
Yeah.
Pick up the old flag.
What they didn't buy was a hammer or anything with which to insert the flagpole into the ground. So they had to force it in, which caused it to move a lot, which would come back to haunt them.
Caused it to move a lot?
Caused the flag to move around a lot, yeah. Because they're kind of pushing it into the ground.
That old chestnut.
An old chestnut, yeah. We'll come back to that one. Then there's a plaque on the leg of eagle. We come in peace for all mankind.
That was on the leg of the eagle?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know if it's on our little toy. All the detail it has, does it have the plaque? So nah, it's missing the plaque.
We come in peace.
It's also missing the TV camera, Joe.
No.
We come in peace for all mankind, yeah.
Dirty liars.
Nixon gives them a phone call. It's pretty funny, the two of them.
Phone call?
Awesome, yeah.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House.
Like, no, you're standing there very awkwardly.
What do you say?
They patched them through the NASA radio.
Congratulations, lads.
Yeah. Congratulations. This is the most historic call ever from the White House.
Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world.
NASA put him on hold for an hour. Which apparently he wasn't happy about. He wanted to talk to them pretty early, get the better TV ratings.
Thank you, Mr. President.
They only had 2 hours on the moon. Loads of experiments to do. Not enough time, they would say later on. Armstrong, as he expects, he's just kind of wandering around, nice, cool and collected. Buzz Aldrin is bouncing around like a kangaroo in the background. And the fella who made the suits, they were hand-stitched. All custom made, obviously, but never used on the moon before. And the fellow who made them, he's watching on TV and he is terrified. He's going, I don't think that's going to stand up to this kind of punishment. And Aldrin's just there bouncing like a kangaroo, which he claimed he wanted to do for some kind of research into the effects of gravity on the moon.
Now, the video, kind of looks like the video of that, the video of him bouncing around and falling down and getting back up onto his feet, that's where I start to really, really doubt that they landed on the moon, because that is so... It just looks so fake. So fucking fake.
It might not be Aldrin. Keep in mind, there was lots of moon missions. Could be another one.
No, I think it was them. And you can even see the wires. Like, there's points where you can see wires.
God, you can't see the wires.
You fucking
We're not can. Getting... No, yeah, you can't see any wires. Give me a picture of wires from a reputable source, please. They also set up a tripod, just so that doesn't come back to haunt me. They set up a tripod with a camera on it. They brought that down. So they set that up and that films them. Armstrong has the camera. He's going around taking pictures, taking like 5,000 pictures. Buzz never takes the camera. So there is only one picture of Neil Armstrong on the moon. He said he wasn't bothered by it. Buzz said he just forgot to take pictures of Neil. Mm. Whatever.
Just forgot. Sorry, I forgot to get a photo of you.
Buzz maybe still a little sore about the whole thing.
Can I ask a stupid question?
There are no stupid questions.
There is. And I'll prove it. What's the time difference? What time was it on the moon?
That is, there's no...
It was the morning, I believe.
So in the distance between the moon and Earth, were they on a different day?
It was moon daytime, definitely. But very early in the moon day cycle.
Okay.
because later on it gets extremely hot.
Thank you, Owen. That was not a stupid question.
It wasn't a stupid question. No, it's quite relevant to the conspiracy theories.
Joe, I don't think
Joe's about to go in. Go on.
It doesn't make sense. Like, does day and night only make sense for the Earth? You can't, like, there's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like Monday.
But if you're
Sunday.
On a phone call with somebody on Earth, and like, I'm just saying, if it was the Irish president, they would have asked, the first thing they would have asked, what time is it there? what time have you got?
Where is he from?
From Ireland.
What county?
Outside president Dublin city centre. You should check it out sometime. Check it out sometime, outside Dublin. And it's good. It's really good. It's really good. But if you'd rang, you'd go, what time is it there? And I'm wondering what time it would be.
What time is it there, hi?
Armstrong did one thing that was not part of the plan. You had to collect all the rocks, do all the experiments, all this stuff, take the phone call from Nixon. It was down to the minute and they were behind schedule. He did one thing that wasn't in the plan and has never been fully explained.
Neil Armstrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He walks off out of sight of the cameras. He walks over to the edge of a crater 800 metres away from the Eagle. Remember I told you that they brought their own, their personal kits. They had to list what they brought with them.
Mm-hmm.
Every astronaut who did this would have to list this. And I think all of them were made publicly available. I think all of them. Armstrong's wasn't. He claimed he'd lost it. And his biographer, when asking him for it, was struck by the thought that that would probably be the first time that man has ever lost anything in his life. Now, I think it was released only the last couple of years, but some of the descriptions of things are a bit vague. So you still don't know exactly what he brought. Now, he walked over to this crater, and again, he claimed he didn't bring any kind of personal item for his family around that. There is another biographer of his who interviewed him at length and has claimed that Armstrong told him he did bring something personal to the moon. He told him he brought something for his daughter, Muffy, who had died when she was 2, and who he'd never spoken about, even to his wife. And his biographer wouldn't say what Armstrong said he did bring or what he did with it, but in the film First Man, have you ever seen that?
No.
Ryan Gosling plays Neil Armstrong. It's very good.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, never even heard of it.
In that film, one of the final scenes, he walks to this crater. He stares into it, opens his hand, and there is Muffy's little bracelet with her name on it from when she was kid. He drops it into the crater, looks into the crater, sheds a few silent tears, and then walks back over to Buzz.
Wow.
He went to the crater. It seems he brought something with him that belonged to or was for Muffy. So his family members and his biographers have said what First Man depicts, you can't be sure, but they said it would add up if that's what he was doing.
Mm. Why would you keep that a secret though?
Neil Armstrong kept everything a secret.
Yeah.
Listen, if you can keep landing on the moon a secret.
Or not.
Anyway, yeah, I remember we talked about first of all, he didn't talk about the loss for even to his wife, to anybody, to the point that people who worked with him for years didn't know he had a daughter, or like he'd ever had a daughter, and he decides to become an astronaut shortly after she dies. And that's what he does when he goes to the moon.
That's nice.
That is nice.
If that's what, but happened. If I was making a film about that, that is what I would put into it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. As a dramatic choice, it's the right one.
I thought you were going to say ashes.
So did I.
I thought that's where it was going.
No. Bracelet.
But bracelet's more palatable.
Right, it works. Early in the film, he takes her little bracelet and puts it in a drawer. It's a metaphor. That's where he's putting the emotions. In the drawer.
Ah.
Not going to be shown again till he gets to the moon.
Did you cry? Is it an emotional scene?
It's very emotional.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's well done. It's very emotional, especially if you've gone through the last couple hours with
sexy Ryan Gosling.
Well, sexy Ryan Gosling harbouring all this grief that he just can't talk about. All he wants to do is go to the moon.
Pained, handsome Ryan Gosling.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
Can? You mean can?
He would say he was taking pictures of the crater. Before they go back in, they got to do a bit more dumping, as is NASA's style. So they stand at the edge of Eagle and everything they don't need has to go because they've got to lighten the load for getting back to Earth. They dump, I have a little list here, blankets, cameras, tools, bags of shit. Bags of human waste.
That's mad that that's on the moon.
That
now,
is still
it?
There.
That's distressing.
They just tossed it all out. And it took 8 minutes. Tossed a lot of stuff out there.
The cells from that could create aliens.
Yeah, imagine.
Well, that's one of the things that scientists are really interested in. When they go back with Artemis, someone go fetch the poo. See what happened to it. There's cells in there.
Is that the plan? The plan is to...
It's not the plan.
Pick up Buzz Aldrin's
shit. They want the poo, though.
Like, it's part of the plan.
Make sure you get the poo.
They have to try and sleep then. They can't. It stinks because the moon apparently smells like wet ash. So in the Eagle, it smells so bad they leave their helmets on. They're trying to sleep. They can't. It's awful. And then they're about to leave. And turns out Buzz, Dr. Rendezvous, as he was putting on, or as he was getting ready to leave, he turns around and his big backpack, you know, his big oxygen pack, knocked it off a switch. The switch to send them back.
Oh, my God.
What?
He broke it off. It was broken.
Jesus.
And they're going, oh, that was basically the on switch to use the ascent stage to fly up to Michael Collins. But he is Dr. Rendezvous. He's not going to miss his rendezvous, is he? Takes out a pen, jams it in to reconnect the circuit.
Jesus.
He was a doctor of engineering. Like,
that's crazy. I didn't know that. That'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
That'd be so, I'd be like, you stupid. Fucking you stupid. Like, Neil Armstrong must have been so fucking pissed off.
He probably really just pissed didn't off. Say Anton, though.
This is why you're not the first man on the moon. Oh, shit, God. Like this, Buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
The ascent stage. Remember, the engine that they didn't know was going to work or not.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the engine.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the Eagle. They have to press the button to shoot off. No, they press it. There's a moment or two of agonizing silence. And then shoots off. Floats up. Michael Collins collects them. And
with no visible propulsion. In the video, it just just kind of lifts off as if it's on strings and even wobbles a little bit.
That's not a video of Apollo 11.
What do you mean?
That's a video of like Apollo 16 or 17.
That was on strings. 16 was on strings.
Yeah.
So there was one that was fake?
No, there's no video of it lifting off. There's a video from the lunar module.
Maybe it was a demonstration of the moon landing that you watched for like Discovery or something.
Yeah.
No, there's one. This it do,
no, but it does look fake. But this, and this is going to be the answer for a lot of the conspiracy stuff, because it's on the moon.
Mm.
It doesn't speed up. It's the slightest jolt. It's like if you're in a swimming pool. With your finger, you push yourself off the wall underwater. And you'll
yeah, I always thought that was mad because I'm a big heavy fucker.
There you go.
So like, I'm actually light on the water.
Probably the closest comparison. Yeah, you don't need a lot of propulsion. So they didn't use it. And they head back up. Michael Collins, again, he doesn't know where they are exactly. He has to look out with a telescope. He's like, there they are. Okay, off we go. Pick them up. Do their docking to reconnect. We talked about a lot of the dangerous parts of the mission. That was possibly, they reckon, the most dangerous. They were very, very worried about that. They get back in. And because they're real men, Collins thinks about giving Aldrin a hug. Then he thinks twice and just shakes his hand.
Hug it out.
No hugging it out.
I'd be kissing and all.
Come here, Buzz. Meet me, will you?
You probably smelled the piss off him. Going,
yeah, yeah. Giz are worse.
Stink.
Yeah. Leave your gloves on as well.
There's a New York Times headline from the next day, and it just says, like, it says landing on moon or whatever, but like most of the headline says, astronauts collect rocks, plant flag. That's it.
It's quite boring.
And then Pablo Picasso gave his reaction to the New York Times. It means nothing to me. I have no opinion about it. I don't care. Picasso was a bit of a prick, wasn't he?
He was a bit of a prick.
Am I right in thinking that?
He was, yeah. More than questionable. Let's just put it mildly like that.
Yeah. Give a little deep dive on him.
And there's a picture taken by Michael Collins as Eagle is floating back to them and the Earth is behind them. Everybody else who existed then, or ever, I suppose, was in that picture except Michael Collins.
Wow.
Poor fella. Can't catch a break. Like the whole time, it's just like, I was there too. I was in space as well.
Should have done the Oscar selfie. Just
yeah.
Me and everybody that's ever existed.
Oh, as they were leaving, the flag blew over. He was asked years later, Buzz Aldrin, any regrets in life? And
not bringing a hammer.
Well, not bring a hammer. Maybe that was one. But he said he regretted he didn't look out the window more as they left the moon. He was so busy looking at the instruments and the readings and everything.
I should do that on aeroplanes more.
Look out the window?
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
I'm never at the window. It's always Amy at the window. Or else some old person. Who offers some sweets sometimes.
That's nice.
Want a sucky sweet? Yeah, go on. Can I look out the window? No.
The route home is again very dangerous. Similar to the way out, there's the burn. They go around the back of the moon. It all goes quiet for NASA. NASA are terrified. They're more scared coming back than they are going there. And we talked about in the last episode, you know, have to get it absolutely right to the second, to the degree. Too much, you're flying off space. Too little, you're crashing this time into Earth. There's a few agonizing seconds of waiting. They hear back from them and they report, yeah, all's gone good. They get back. The re-entry, 25,000 miles an hour.
Quick.
That's fast. Yeah, that's
quick, isn't it?
Pretty fast. Yeah. That's like the same speed as Earth. I think Earth moves at a similar speed around the sun.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Fucking. So together, they're going like 50,000 kilometers if they're going head on.
Your scooter goes about that as well.
Yeah, it hits that, yeah.
Yeah.
Top speed.
Jailbroken, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 25,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
Michael Collins compared aiming for the re-entry, the exact angle and spot to get to get safely back in. It's like aiming for a sheet of paper, like a sideways turned sheet of paper.
Oh, Jesus.
From a mile away.
So there was a chance that, like, they could still die, like.
Oh, yeah. I've just skipped through here because.
Big chance.
We've talked a lot about rocket death risks and all that in the last couple of episodes. So I don't want to bore people with it. But, like, coming back around the moon to fire back to Earth and then the re-entry where. And getting off the moon, they were probably more dangerous than any of the stuff we talked about in the previous ones. They were terrified. With the re-entry, if the angle is too shallow, you'll burn up. If it's too steep, you'll burn up. If it's a little bit steeper, you won't just burn up. You'll skim off the atmosphere like a stone on water. And, bing, off into space.
Gone.
Gone.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
With Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, God.
Nightmare.
And you don't age in space, don't you know? I heard that somewhere.
You age slower, yeah, in space. Yeah, that is true.
Really?
Yep, if you were...
By a lot, or...?
Yeah, I think if, say, you were up in space for 20 years orbiting the Earth and you came down, your body would have aged, let's say, 10 years.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is that because there's less pressure on it and stuff?
I don't know. So they splashed down in the Pacific Ocean on July 24th, taken off to quarantine for 21 days.
Oh, my birthday.
July 24th?
Yeah.
Is it?
Really?
No. It's the same month.
Yeah.
Really? Afraid of moon germs, so they stick them in their hazmat suits, take them off to
have a
trailer.
Shower. Have a shower.
I'd say they were allowed to have a shower when they got in, but nobody else was allowed to touch them.
I wonder what the force.
They're scrubbed down, like these fellas get off a little speedboat and jump in and scrub the light.
Say they were dying for a few chicken wings or something.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Burger.
Some burger, yeah.
Fucking greasy burger. Big American Philly
smash,
cheese.
Smash burger.
So that's July 24th. The next day. July 25th, in California, a 34-year-old music teacher called Gary Hinman answers a knock at the door.
I know him.
Who's at the door? Mary Brunner, Bobby Beausoleil, and Susan Atkins.
The family.
Gary will be the first confirmed Manson family murder.
There you go.
And the first time they did all the, you know, witchy stuff.
Why does all of this link?
That's not a direct link.
It's still like, why are they in the story?
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's a story. The reason I mean, I did actively go and see if I could find a link because I knew it was all happening around the same time. But I think where we're going to go from now with the story, it shows very well the contrast between a certain idealism that was the Apollo missions and the moon landing and what was to come. Everyone was going to get a lot more cynical. Things get a lot darker. And the Manson family was, I mean, not the warning sign of that, but the first sign of that change. Apollo's like official America, Uncle Sam's best and brightest. You know, Stars and Stripes. And the Manson family is dark, evil. And also...
And the CIA were involved in all of it.
Yeah, possibly.
So all them people that... Remember you were saying they thought, like, oh, if you said you were going to this fucking space, you're a loony.
Yeah.
Remember?
Is it worth mentioning when they got back, they had a deposition that was classified until this weekend, just passed, and the interview came out? The classified interview, and they were talking about seeing fucking spaceships.
Aldrin had talked about seeing stuff before.
There's a picture of it.
He said he saw something, but he didn't know if it was UFO.
I think that's like a like long kind of.
That's from Apollo 12, so the next mission that went up. The fucking like photographs of spaceships from the moon.
Well,
that's wild.
It looks like a kind of it's long, kind of like a wire or something. It's like a
cigar, like a blue cigar.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I got a bit for you in a while on...
It's like a tower.
It is like a tower. It's like a big space station.
Mm. Yeah.
This in what was that, 1971 or something like that? The next Apollo mission? Or 1970?
Later in 69.
There's so many Apollos, I've lost count. How many Apollos was that?
They got up to 17. Six landed. Apollo 13 didn't, obviously. They come back, worldwide tour, ticker tape parades in New York. 4 million people come out for it. They meet the Queen of England. They're wearing sombreros in Mexico. Everywhere. Africa.
All over Ireland.
Did you just say that they're wearing sombreros in Mexico?
Yeah, they're on parades everywhere.
As a celebration?
Yeah.
Oh, the lads are.
The lads are.
Keeping with the culture.
Sorry, I thought that. Yeah. So
I thought you were just saying the people of Mexico are wearing sombreros.
No, no, no.
Yeah, of course they are.
They'll post that.
Armstrong, they do. Armstrong, Aldrin and Collins do this worldwide tour a while after they get back out of quarantine and all that. And they were struck by how people weren't saying America did it. They were saying we did it. Gonna have that impact on the world. People thought like this is an achievement for humanity, even though you know the rest of them didn't lift a finger, but they were happy to take the credit for it. So
as you would,
yeah.
Well, 400,000 people were involved, and I'm sure there was a few nationalities.
Yeah,
there was nationalities in it.
They brought back lots of moon rocks. They and on this tour and elsewhere, they gifted them to nations of the world. Everybody got a bit of moon rock. We got some moon rock.
We did.
Guess where it went?
Michael Flatley's house.
Yeah.
Why Michael Flatley?
Just the kind of thing that he would.
Yeah, okay, I suppose.
Went to Finglas. What?
I was wondering what that was in the gaff. When I moved in, there was this big rock on the couch. Like, who the fuck owns that show in the bin shed?
Don't think. Observatory.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Is that still going?
Can we go there?
That's insane that's there.
Isn't it? It's random as fuck. What's it looking at? What are they studying out in Finglas?
Don't think observatory.
I don't think the telescope was pointed at Finglas.
No, we know.
Just pointed at my gaff.
Charlestown.
Every time I leave, it's just looking at me. I'm like...
So our moonrock went to Dunsink Observatory and in Finglas.
That's fucking crazy, isn't it?
Is it still there?
No.
Ah.
Where is it now?
There was a fire.
Fuck's sake.
And... The rock burned? No.
Well, no, they reckon they... Nobody thought to mention there'd been moon rock and somebody cleared it all up and sent it off to the dump in Finglas. So there's probably... Moon rock is probably still in Finglas, but it's gone from the observatory to the dump.
Jesus.
That is
the most Irish...
Mad thing, isn't it?
Story.
In the dump in Finglas down at Dunsink.
How many dumps are in Finglas?
I'll tell you.
I think there's a couple.
I'm not saying it.
There's a few, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so it's in
it's
the
all
dump.
A dump.
And then, Joe, you're...
Hey. Hey.
I didn't say that.
Hey.
I'm only messing.
Hey.
Respect to Finglas.
Yeah, respect.
Respect to Finglas, not a dump.
Yeah, nothing. In the collegiate, collective spirit of the Apollo missions, let's not be saying things like that about Finglas.
I take it back.
The moon.
I take it back.
I'm you're sorry. The Buzz
Aldrin. The moon was in Finglas at one point, Joe. The moon.
The moon. I know. I'm sorry. It's a great place, Finglas.
And in Coolock, Joe, as I'm sure you know, there's
no moon.
There's estates named after it.
All the streets are named like Tranquility Grove, which is the name of, and Armstrong Way, and all, like the whole area in Coolock.
Eagle Park, Tranquility Grove, Aldrin Walk, Armstrong Walk, Apollo Way.
Stupid, isn't it?
They're better than a lot of names.
Buzz Piss Avenue. No?
Buzz Balls.
Buzz Balls.
I'd say every time we mention Buzz, you are getting
I'm getting thirsty.
Getting thirsty.
Of the Apollo 11 lads, Armstrong hated the fame. He's very quiet, you know. He went off and became a lecturer. His barber tried to sell some of the hair he cut from him, and Armstrong got very upset and sued him. And he generally tried to...
How much did they make off the trip? Do we know that? Is that public knowledge?
Yeah, they were paid like civil servant salaries.
So not a lot to go to the fucking moon?
No, you'd be looking at a salary, I think it's around equivalent to, I mean, not bad, about 100 grand, I think, for their salary.
You put in for mileage.
That's low.
A lot of mileage.
That's low, isn't it?
Fuel allowance.
Buzz Aldrin did put in for mileage for the moon.
Ma.
Mm.
Per day.
Darryl Breen told this story on The Late Late. I think he did as a joke, but they're able to put in mileage for driving to and from the space centre. And he included the moon on this particular ship.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You would do that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Aldrin, he didn't handle it well at all. He had come from a family with a lot of addiction in it. He said he became an alcoholic, and he said he had basically just been able to dedicate his entire life to
his work, and then once that was gone, once he'd done it,
who became an alcoholic?
Buzz Aldrin.
Oh.
And he went off the rails completely. He ended up selling Cadillacs in Beverly Hills.
What?
Got divorced, selling cars.
Really?
Yeah. Turned it around. Now, he got sober and...
Did he market the place?
I'm sure he did, yeah. As it was like...
Mooney.
That's mad. I didn't know that. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Fall from grace.
Well, listen. He ended up in The Simpsons, so...
Made it.
Second comes right after first.
Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon.
Second comes right after first.
Is the first astronaut on The Simpsons?
Yes, I believe he was.
There you go.
There you go. Mm. There you go.
Simpsons again, anyway.
You got it. You got back it in around. There. Got it in there.
He would tell the story that he would meet Frank Sinatra at parties and tell him he'd played Fly Me to the Moon while on the moon.
And also said that to every other artist he met.
Yeah. Michael Collins was fine. Perfectly adjusted. Went on, wrote his book, which was much loved. He got the... like America's biggest space museum opened. That was his mission when he came back. He's like, that's what I'm going to use my newfound fame for. To lobby them to open this huge museum to science and space travel in Washington. Which
that's
they did.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. He was absolutely fine. Armstrong didn't like the fame. For a long time, wouldn't do interviews. Didn't really want to talk to anybody. Aldrin went completely the other way. But Aldrin came out of it and he seems to be a lot more crack now. It's not the Buzz Aldrin you'd read about.
Are all of them still alive, yeah?
No, Aldrin's the only one alive now.
Oh, really?
Collins died a couple of years ago and Armstrong died in 2012.
Mm.
Yeah. There would be another 5 missions that would walk on the moon. 6 more. Obviously Apollo 13.
You don't hear of them, though, don't you?
No, you don't. Nobody cared about Apollo 12. Mm. Like, they did care, but not really at all. There was none of the hoopla, none of the attention. It was done.
Seen it.
People are so fickle.
Yeah, fucking... Yeah, but like the sequel's never as good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as exciting at all. Just be like, okay, I'm not staying up for this again.
Yeah, we know we can do it. Like.
I'll just watch it on Twitter tomorrow.
The last words spoken on the moon were astronaut Eugene Cernan. And the last words on the moon were, okay, now let's get off. Forget the camera. More dumping.
Camera up there and everything.
Camera's left there too. They were the last words of man on the moon. Let's get off. Forget the camera. He did write his daughter's initials in the moon dust though. Where they'll stay forever. That's a nice story.
Who did?
Eugene Cernan, the last astronaut on the moon.
The last one.
Yeah.
Until the next one.
Until the next one.
When is that? A
couple of years.
4 years.
2027, yeah. I think they want to be there.
Oh, will you be up for that one?
Will I be up for it? I'll stay up for it, yeah.
What the point is that? More, yeah, higher res.
Depends on what time you get
there. Better
video. Yeah. It'll probably be live on Netflix or something.
Werner von Braun had ready to go. He showed it to journalists in like the week after they landed the moon. His 10-year plan to get to Mars. That would have been a nuclear rocket, I believe. That was his plan. But nobody gave a shit. Once they done it, they're like, this costs so much money. We're not doing any more of this. We beat the Russians. It's over. This was never about actually going to space. This, you know, the money men had no interest. So he never got to go to Mars. There would be 12 astronauts to walk on the moon, 7 who circled it. And there was this idea that spread in the 70s that all the astronauts who came back had lost their minds. They were all basket cases. There was a few that were a little strange. There was an astronaut, Edgar Mitchell. He was interested in ESP.
Which is mentally talking to, telepathically talking to people.
Telepathy, yeah. While he was on the moon, he did unauthorized telepathy experiments. He said he projected 4 sets of symbols in random order to 4 people on Earth. I presume he'd just stand there thinking about them. Yeah.
Did anyone respond?
He says he got most of them right. The people knew what he was thinking about. So he was already interested in this. And when he came back, he was fully bought in. Edgar Mitchell. You'd like him. He talks a lot about UFOs and...
And he was on the moon?
Yeah.
The last man on the moon?
No, I think he was Apollo 14 or 15.
We're just going to call them Apollo now. He was on Apollo.
Numbers. Yeah, yeah.
There was Apollo 12, Alan Bean, who came back. And when he came back from space, he became an artist and just turned to spiritual causes. He said he was profoundly affected. Apollo 14, that was him, Edward Mitchell. He turned all his life's work into researching extrasensory perception.
That's the ESP.
Yeah, that's all he dedicated his life to, understanding telepathic communication when he came back.
That's what the CIA was doing. The CIA around that time was studying telepathy and ESP.
What was it called? Vision something?
The Gateway tapes.
I think did we briefly mention this in the MKUltra episode?
Maybe.
But there definitely was remote viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a program to see if they could pass messages between the minds. And there was James Irwin from Apollo 15 who came back, established a Christian ministry, and then embarked upon a quest to find Noah's Ark.
Love it. I love it.
Why not?
Just try find it. Or Atlantis.
Everything else after being on the moon would be boring.
Well, it was that overview effect, I think, is kind of what people put the cause of all this. The overview effect, talk about Apollo 8, when you see the Earth from space, it has this profound impact on you. And that's, I think, the best theory. A lot of them came back and saw things very, very differently.
I'd love to see that.
I sometimes, you know, when you're flying in a plane and you're coming into land and you can see the cars and they're just tiny little dots.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking, it's mad that there's a human being in there and I'm a human being, so I'm just like a little dot.
Everyone and everything is insignificant.
Yeah, like a flea. We're just like what flea is in space.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
I went down that rabbit hole as well.
Yeah, it's heavy, isn't it?
How small things are and how big you are and how inconsiderate you are.
Inconsiderate.
Insignificant, though. Inconsiderate prick.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
To your family and your wife and your neighbours.
Yeah, it happens when you look at the Earth.
By the time they finished going to the moon, things have changed. Well, I think the moon landing was no longer seen by as many people as this perfect thing. The conspiracies had pretty much started up. But like I was saying, but the Manson family was kind of the signal of what was to come. But the rot had already set into America. So when JFK gives his speech in 61, I think he's living in one era. So post-World War II, idealistic. By the time Armstrong walks in 69, it's a different era. People are starting to lose their faith already in institutions and the government. And
the Vietnam War was going on at the same time, yeah?
Yeah, that was going to be the one example I was going to point to. Did you ever hear the My Lai Massacre? 1968, America, who in their own minds are the good guys, no questions asked, never do anything wrong. It was a massacre in 1968 of somewhere between 350 and 500 Vietnamese, mostly civilians, by US Marines. Oh. And there were pictures. It's in a village in Vietnam. There's bodies everywhere.
Don't and the Americans. That's what I said, the nerve of them going up to saying we come in peace and all on the lunar module.
That's what I mean, like JFK's idea, Apollo, like that's the vision America had of itself. By the late 60s, that's starting to crumble. And it's the Vietnam War. Then there's a thing called the Pentagon Papers leaked, which lays bare that the US government was lying to the American people about how that war was going. These are all things, a bit like the moon landing, that don't seem that shocking now to us. But it was fundamental rupture to the core of like how they saw their own government. Like the JFK conspiracies were kind of burbling in the background here. They started more in the 70s, they started coming out. That was another big one. That was kind of an acceptance. Your government will lie to you if it wants to. And it will hurt people if it wants to. And it'll lie about that as well. It'll cover things up, it'll invent things. These were alien ideas until kind of the late 60s. Then there's Watergate in the early 70s. That's where Nixon kicked out of the White House because he's caught bugging political rivals and trying to cover it up. That linked into the JFK thing. So wasn't the Watergate burglars? Didn't a witness see one of them on the grassy knoll?
Did they?
Yeah. It's JFK conspiracy. At that point, you're gonna get more of a hearing for a wild idea, a wild suggestion, like we never landed on the moon. And that brings us to all the conspiracies. So we'll wrap that one up. That's episode 3. And next one, the one Joe's been waiting for.
Oh yeah.
We've all been waiting for the conspiracies.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we go. Drop yourself in.
Thanks again, Stephen Dwyer, who helped out with the research on this.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Thanks, everyone.